Do you believe?
Welcome to another episode of Bringing Home the Hardware. Kay Constable and Mark Drumheller here with you as always. There's a lot of movement in the NFL right now, aside from what's happening in the conference championship games with coaches being hired left and right. So we're going to go through those, discuss some of those moves just real quick, whether we like it or dislike, kind of approve or not approve. The exact market for these two conference championship games and the Super Bowl, Mark has something dialed up that's extremely interesting, a way you can kind of profit almost, and I say almost, regardless of the outcome. So we'll get into that and then do some NBA. Would you rather last dollar if you had, would you bet on this or that to wrap up the show? But as always, you can find us on Twitter. Mark is at @X_Drumheller. I'm at Kate Constable. Pod is live on the Believe Network and wherever you get your podcasts. So would love it if you'd like, subscribe, or share this episode if you find it amusing or fun. Mark, lots of coaching changes in the NFL over the last week. Most recently, we've had Jim Harbaugh out to LA, taken over at the head of the Chargers.
Yeah, big news. So what are your thoughts on Jim Harbaugh? Like, I think this is interesting because he was obviously the main catch for the NFL teams. Like, you know, Atlanta brought him in. Everyone's like, oh, Jim Harbaugh is coming to the NFL. You know, we got to get our hands on him. But, like, I have a little bit of concern. He's been out of the league for a decade, and he's won everywhere he's gone. Won the national championship with Michigan. He actually has the highest active winning percentage now that he's active again as a head coach in the NFL, which I did not know. Right. But, you know, yeah, so very impressive. LaFleur is second. So it's – really? Yeah, I mean, yeah, he went. I mean, he won a lot of games in San Francisco. So, wow. Yeah, I mean, it was bad at the end, but – so he has the pedigree, but there's just something about like hopping back in after 10 years. Like the game is so much different that makes me like wonder, hey, is this really going to work out?
Well, I mean, that's interesting that you say that because going from NFL to college, it took him nine years before he won a national championship. Yeah. I mean, Michigan was terrible for the first 5 years of his tenure there. So, and he hadn't been a head coach of the college ranks prior to Michigan. Is that right?
I think he was, but not like substantial. Not like I know he's doing his career. Right. He's
big time pro
college ranks. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
This was like the high profile, like the dream job. It was like Harbaugh, Michigan. He's here, you know, and it took a while. He almost got fired.
Yeah. So maybe, I don't know, maybe because he was a established head coach in the NFL before, that'll help him a little bit more here. I do think that he's a good fit with Justin Herbert because we've seen him develop quarterbacks and kind of get the best out of them. Colin Kaepernick, even JJ McCarthy. Like, is JJ McCarthy an elite quarterback? I don't think so. Maybe at the college level, but not any higher. I might
even Alex Smith. If you remember when he was at San Francisco, like the first project was Alex Smith before Kaepernick.
Oh.
And Alex Smith was a complete bust. Like if you remember, they 49ers drafted him. They were like, they wrote him off. This guy's a bust. Harbaugh swoops in and takes him, you know, they go to the playoffs and Alex Smith. So, you know, he does have the pedigree to where like he can develop these quarterbacks. So I do agree with you there. I think it's a good situation for Herbert.
Yeah, because I feel like Herbert's just kind of been wasting away over in L.A. there with Brandon Staley for the last couple of years, that this is might be exactly what he needs to kind of reboot his career, so to speak, even though it's still a young career. So I don't necessarily hate the hire for the Chargers. I'm not sure it's going to come to fruition in terms of like winning the AFC West in his first season. It might just take a couple.
Yeah, it might take some time. And they got to get some players. Like, again, it's all about players. They're going to have some cap issues. They paid a lot of defensive veterans a lot of money. And the offensive weapons they have around Herbert cannot stay healthy. So they got to figure out what they're going to do there.
That's going to be the biggest issue, I think. The Titans. And I love in our rundown, Mark, you wrote, WTF did the Titans hire here? Brian Callahan.
Who is this guy?
You don't like that hire.
I think I would like Mike Vrabel to coach my team more than Callahan.
I would
and that's not a knock on Callahan. Like, but I think this is the Titans saying, hey, you know, we want to be more modern is a team, is an offense, and we want a play caller. And a guy, and they go and they're like, okay, like, what offenses are really good? Let's get the play caller. That's how Zach Taylor got his job. It worked out for, you know, the Bengals. Will work out for the Titans. I don't know. I mean, they obviously, this was a hire to, you know, help with the development of Will Levis. You know, I think that they kind of look at him as the future now, and they want to make sure that they have the right guy around them calling the plays. And it's super important. I don't know what the meme is. Like, I was not familiar with your game, you know, Mr. Callahan. I'm not familiar with your game. So, you know, we'll see how this one turns out.
No, I really wasn't either. I had to kind of do a little Google search and read some articles on, I mean, I knew he was with the Bengals and had been working with Burrow. He did some great things with Jake Browning this year. I'm not sure you turn Jake Browning into a decent quarterback and all of a sudden you deserve to be a head coach. I don't know, but Peyton Manning has endorsed him. He worked with Matthew Stafford, so he does have some good pedigree with some very good quarterbacks. So yeah, with the development of Will Levis needing to be a priority, Brian Callahan might be the guy, but to your point, I would have preferred Mike Vrabel to just stay in Tennessee. That would have been
I like Vrabel. Pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Other Panthers just hired Dave Canales this morning, Tampa Bay's offensive coordinator. He did a great job with Baker Mayfield this past season, and he now finds himself in Carolina, where he'll probably be for, what, like 6-8 months before they fire him and move on to the next coach, because that seems to be what Carolina does.
Yeah, I mean, what a tough spot to go into. But it just goes to show you, listen, it's a great opportunity. Like, there's only 32 jobs, so you can't be you can't be picky. You're going to be on the outside looking in. So, you know, and we kind of knew, I felt like, at least, that, like, the Panthers weren't really going to be a destination for a lot of the top candidates. So, you know, they went and they found someone that they think's an innovative offensive mind to, you know, start to build back up Bryce Young. So, do I like it? I mean, I don't know. It's a little underwhelming, but you kind of knew it was going to have to be underwhelming because, you know, who wants to go to Carolina?
Yeah. I just think it's funny that Baker was in Carolina, wasn't good. They got rid of him. Yeah. We're like, nah, we don't need you. Baker goes to, finds his way to Tampa Bay, has a great season, and all of a sudden the Panthers are now poaching the offensive coordinator that built Baker back up. It's like kind of just an odd circle.
They're like, he made this guy good. He's got to be good enough for us.
Yeah, right.
We'll give him Bryce Young.
Atlanta. The Falcons still do not have a head coach. There's like a list. I just saw a list of like 15 names that they're considering. So Atlanta has no clue what they want to do, apparently, or who they're going to hire. Belichick's kind of fizzled out. It seems like he's losing some steam. Maybe Bobby Slowick is a name that they go with, but I have no idea what Atlanta's thinking right now.
Yeah, I don't think anyone knows what Atlanta's thinking, ever. You know, like,
yeah, and right? They, literally last time ever.
Last time they went, you know, this route where, like, we got to get the, you know, offensive mind. They hire Arthur Smith, you know, and then he tries to rebuild Tennessee in Atlanta, you know, with the same kind of philosophy. That was horrible. It didn't have a quarterback. And, you know, so now I don't know. I mean, the Slowick's hot. I mean, I was surprised. I thought this was going to be Belichick's job to lose, but it seems like he lost it. And I don't understand it. I mean, I don't know. I mean, if I was Atlanta and get a guy like Bill Belichick, I'd be pretty happy. Right. But it is funny of how it's almost like all these teams, all these owners look at it the same way. They're like, I want the play caller. And I don't know. I mean, Bobby Slowick, I think, did a tremendous job, but you know, they couldn't win without C.J. Stroud. So, like, is he going to bring C.J. Stroud with him? Or is Atlanta going to have a quarterback option that is, like, you know, comparable to C.J. Stroud? No. You know what I mean? So I think if you're not going to have that quarterback, the best thing to do is bring in a guy like Belichick who can win, you know, with a solid defense, and bring in a veteran guy like maybe a Russell Wilson or, you know, another veteran, maybe Kirk Cousins, you know, and try and build that way. But I don't know. So it makes you wonder, not only like if not Atlanta for Belichick, where does Belichick end up? Because I got some takes.
Yeah, because the job openings are kind of drying up a bit. Like, a lot of teams have claimed their guy, especially with the Cowboys keeping McCarthy, the Eagles keeping Sirianni. Like, Seattle's still open, correct?
Seattle's still open. Yeah, rumors about Dan Quinn. I think there's a lot of people thought that he'd be the guy there, but they've been talking to Vrabel.
Yep.
Here's a scenario for you, Kate, right? Okay. I'm going to blow your mind with this one. You ready? You're sitting down.
I'm sitting down. Yes.
All right. What if Andy Reid retires and Bill Belichick goes to Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes? Is the NFL ready for that?
Why would Andy Reid retire?
He's been coaching forever. What if they win the Super Bowl again? He gets another ring, you know?
Maybe if he gets another ring. I don't know if Belichick would work in Kansas City.
I mean, how long has Andy Reid been coaching? Like, it's got to be like 20 years, right? Like,
I mean, he's up there. He's not quite as up there as Belichick, but well, let's do a little search here. Andy Reid is how old? Belichick just strips the personality out of Andy Reid is 65. Yeah. And like, let's be real, probably not a healthy 65.
Yeah.
With his cheeseburger consumption. Like,
yep.
Might probably be a concern.
Yeah. Might be, but just be like, this year had to be very tough on Andy Reid, right?
Yeah.
Like the way the offense has struggled, they're trying to rebuild things, you know? Like they're, yeah. I don't know.
You're not the first person I've heard say that Andy Reid might hang it up after this season.
Yeah. If he does.
Still have Mahomes and Kelsey in that defense. I feel like he's
and
still
you put Belichick on the Chiefs with that defense as well as it's playing now. Chris Jones, the secondary.
Yeah.
You put Belichick there, and then you put Patrick Mahomes on the offense. All you got to do is get him a wide receiver, even if Kelsey retires. Get him a wide receiver. He's got Rashee Rice. He's got Kelsey. He's got Rashee Rice. He's got whoever you bring in. He's got Pacheco. You're set on both sides of the ball, man.
So Patrick Mahomes is winning how many Super Bowls? Then he surpasses Brady, right? For sure. Yes. He's winning every year for the next 10 years. Get that Exacta market for 2027 fired up already, and you'd be making quite a bit of money.
But I think that would be fun.
Okay. I could get on board with that. I'm not sure, Mark, I can get on board with Shane Waldron to Chicago. Should I be getting on board with that? I know he is under the McVay tree. So that's, again, like you mentioned, a lot of people want, you know, the play callers, but struggles with in-game adjustments a little bit. And isn't that Chicago's issue over the last couple of years? So like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think like, we're going to find out, and you never want like your team to be kind of like the guinea pig, but like, well, a lot of people talk really highly about Waldron. Well, I didn't see it in Seattle. So you wonder how much of that was Pete Carroll and how much, you know, not letting him kind of be himself and open up the offense. You know, listen, Geno Smith exceeded expectations last year, you know, banged up this year, came back down to earth a little bit, but it just feels like such a huge year for Chicago, like if they draft Caleb Williams, and you got to have him with the right guy. But I like him better than Kingsbury. I didn't like the Kingsbury thing at all.
I didn't really like Kingsbury either.
Yeah.
No, I'm glad they went away from Kingsbury. I did read something, though, that Chicago's mind was blown with some of the things that Kingsbury said in the interview. And they like, what? Like, what could he really have said? I mean, he was a better offensive coordinator in the NFL than head coach. Like head coach, I would never want him as that. I don't know. So the verdict is still out for me and Waldron. We're gonna have to wait and see.
Definitely.
How about Vic Fangio going to Philly? You guys, your defense hopefully gonna look a little bit better this year, maybe not be dead last in quite a few categories.
We're so back now. I'm so excited about this. Like Vic Fangio coming to Philadelphia. And if we're going to keep Sirianni, like, you know that we need strong coordinators. Yeah. And I think Fangio is the best in the game, man. So, like, I think that this is, like, tremendous. I couldn't be more happy. You know, on the offensive side of the ball, they're, you know, kind of said they're talking to Kellen Moore. They're not sure how that's going to play out. But no offensive coordinator yet. But Fangio seems to be a done deal. He's in Philadelphia today. So, you know, hopefully that gets done if it hasn't been formally announced. And I think it's just what the Eagles need, man. He's historically – like this year, they did a great job against Dallas. So as an Eagles fan, you love to see that. But getting one of the top defensive coordinators in the game is exactly what we needed to turn this thing around. I mean, what better of a blow up from Matt Patricia to Vic Fangio?
Right? Like that's, yeah, blow up, glow up, whatever it is, that was quite the shift from those two. And if I were an Eagles fan, I would also be very happy bringing Fangio in. So good for you and your Eagles, Mark.
Well, I'm excited. Everything's going good now. You know, we got this stink last season, you know, out of us, even though the season hasn't finished. And now we're kind of turning the page.
I mean, everyone needs like a really crappy season once every couple of years, and you guys got yours out of the way, and now
we got humbled.
I mean, when you're at the bottom, the only way to go where a place to go is up. So you're on the up and up.
That's right.
Congrats. Hopefully Chicago is also on the up and up. We'll see. I don't really have faith in that organization turning around.
Anything they do.
Yeah, no. Not really. Mark, okay, we're going to try and incorporate into these pods like a little personality and some things in our lives just to make the listeners, you know, get to know us a little bit more. I've been addicted to puzzles.
You're recently. Back on the puzzles. I know. How many did we do this week? That's the question.
Okay, so I finished my last one last week, and my husband told me I had to stop ordering puzzles because I was ordering too many. So I got put on a
credit card.
Puzzle band. And so I'm out. I'm done for the month.
I
did four puzzles this month, four 1,000 piece puzzles. So 4,000 for you mathematicians out there, 4,000 pieces. And I did four in like 3 weeks. So it was a good run.
That's crazy. Now, are you going to get them smuggled in?
I might have
like your friends buy them and then kind of like slide them into the door when he's not there.
Yeah. Well, his argument is like, we don't have anywhere to store all these puzzles. I'm like, you have an entire closet of shoes, dude. Do not talk to me.
Smuggle them in and then put them in, build them and put them in the shoe closet. So right? When he opens up to get the shoes, he sees the puzzles.
And I just put the puzzles in his Nike boxes of like his Jordans and stuff. Oh my gosh, he would lose his mind.
Can you get puzzles and shoes? Can you get the puzzles of the Jordans? Do those.
Probably, actually. So I almost ordered a Bears puzzle because if it's Bears, if it's Bulls, if it's anything Chicago sports, he loves it. So I'm like,
he's in.
You would probably love me doing this puzzle. Every once in a while, he'll sit down and do a couple pieces with me. Nice little bonding time. But it just like kind of turned into like a relaxing thing. At the end of the day, I just flip on a game and do my puzzle, listen to the game. You know, it was just kind of, it was great. So... But I'm on pause for now. I'm retired for the next couple weeks.
We'll see how that goes. We'll see next week how retired you are. Yeah. You might be like, that's Tom what Brady. I said. Retired, coming back, prior. Retired.
Yeah. No. It was just taking up too much of my time and like a very healthy thing to do. Like I could probably be out doing worse things, spending my time. Puzzles seem to be okay, but I kind of became obsessed. So I do need it.
I was just shocked that like you did them during the actual games. And not at the commercial. Like that part surprised me.
During the game, because I don't know.
You would do them at commercials and you couldn't stop when the game came back on.
Yeah. But I moved the table in front of the TV. So the table, literally I had my table and the TV right in front of me. And I just puzzle and look up and, you know, it was kill two birds with one stone. Two of my favorite things, puzzles and football. What could be better?
Great stuff. And now he's taking one away. We'll see how long it lasts.
Yeah. We might have to fire up the old Amazon machine and order a couple. but Mark, you're having a withdrawal from caffeine. We're addicted to caffeine. I was addicted to puzzles. You were addicted slightly to caffeine. And now we're having withdrawals. What's going on?
I'm trying to get off the caffeine. And it's been going well. Like I have, now I've transitioned instead of green tea, I've transitioned to decaf green tea. And I've transitioned to decaf coffee, but I still like if I'm out, I don't get the decaf because like if I'm on the road and get a coffee, which I still do every now and then, I don't get the decaf because it's old and people don't keep decaf fresh like at these stores, so I can't do that. So I'll go if I get a Starbucks or whatever, I'll get a regular coffee, but in the house, like in the Keurig, it's all decaf now, so I've transitioned over and I'm trying to balance it. So I don't want to go like 100% green tea. I don't want to go 100% coffee, nice little mix, you know, instead of having like three coffees a day, maybe I have a green tea, maybe I have a coffee, both of them decaf, but no headaches, no nothing. I think I'm kind of like, I'm not 100% caffeine free, but I think I'm heading in the right direction.
Was this deciding to do this, like you were having too much caffeine or it's just, you know, Obviously, less caffeine is healthier for people.
Yeah, I did it before, and it was good. I loved it. And then for some reason, like, I got away from it. Like, I was like, you know, but it was more of like when I got this like ridiculous cough, I was trying to like shock my body with like medication and stuff. And I'm like, oh, well, instead of coffee, I'm going to drink green tea with honey. I can't even talk, but green tea with honey. And I said, that'll be better for my throat because I had this cough for like a month. And so that's how I got on the green tea. And then I said, hey, you know what? Like, I can do this. Like, this in a Keurig. Like, why not? You know, you can order it at Dunkin' or Starbucks or whatever. And Starbucks was a little complicated. They were like, they started talking all this different language I wasn't familiar with. And I'm like, can I just get a hot green tea? Like, figure it out, please. I don't want any whipped cream on it. Just a hot green tea, honey. But yeah, it was, you know, but it's worked out well. So now I got on the green tea, and then I'm like, hey, you know, maybe I can get over to decaf. Maybe I can make this happen, balance it out. So we're trending in the right direction. But again, I'm not like anti-caffeine, but I'm just not three large like coffees filled with caffeine every day.
I need to get there at some point. I mean, I'm not actively cutting back, but every once in a while I will say, okay, maybe you don't need a 4 o'clock coffee.
I'm so dumb. You know, my body doesn't even know the difference. It just knows it's drinking the liquid. It's fine. So whatever.
The placebo. Yeah. Right. I mean, if you don't know the difference and it works. Okay. So divisional round playoff recap.
What a weekend.
What a weekend. Right. It really was
crazy.
The Packers Niners game was a sweat if you were on the Niners and at least wanting them to win. Like, forget covering. That didn't happen. But I wanted the Niners to win because I don't like the Packers, obviously. And that was a sweat. Josh Allen and the Bills. Like, do we laugh or do we feel
bad? They did it again. That's the thing. Like, right? I laugh at them. And listen, as a Philadelphia fan, we went through a long period of where it was hopeless. You know what I mean? Like, before Andy Reid got to Philadelphia. And then even when Andy Reid got to Philadelphia, we lost 4 straight conference championships. So I laugh at the Bills fans. Like, I think it's kind of funny. But when I do, like, people get mad at me. And they're kind of like, oh, I feel so
bad. You're an asshole.
Josh Allen. And, yeah, and all this stuff to fans. And it's so terrible. And, I mean, they lost 4 Super Bowls back in the day in a row. They can't get out of their own way here at the playoffs. But I don't – as far as this season, Kate, like, I never thought they were very good. So, like, I saw, like, the fans crying in the stands, and I'm like, did you really think you were going to win? Like, did you really think you were going to win the Super Bowl? Because I did not.
It felt like their luck was going to run out at some point. Like, they were getting a little lucky in some areas. And I do feel bad for Josh Allen. I like him. I think he's an incredible talent, so I would like to see him win at some point. But when you have Stephon Diggs, who's been arguing over his right, and then to watch that ball go through his hands, like catch the ball and you might be in a different position, right? So I kind of laughed at that, but I was with you. So many people told me, like, put a future on the Bills when they started winning that at the start of their streak, and I'm like, no, I don't want to. I mean, I should have
heard never on the that
division
train.
and No, I didn't think that they were getting to the conference championship. I didn't think they were getting to the Super Bowl. So I was kind of, I was kind of happy to see them lose.
Yeah, I was too. And the Chiefs are back.
They are.
Like, the Chiefs,
crazy.
All the, you know, issues this year with the offense, and they've marched up and down the field against Buffalo.
Yeah. It seems like postseason comes around and Patrick Mahomes just rises to the occasion every time.
Yep. So now we got, you know, Chiefs, Ravens, and then we have Lions, 49ers. And Kate, you know I don't like the 49ers. So
I know you don't.
It took everything. Yeah. I actually bet the 49ers team total over today. Like, that's how I'm playing the game. Because I couldn't take myself – I couldn't lay the points with the 49ers, and I really wanted to bet the Lions, but I felt like I was only betting the Lions because I like them and I hate the 49ers and not – I wasn't fully convinced that they can keep this game close. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I just felt like the, you know, 49ers scoring is probably like the most likely outcome in this game. And whether they cover or not, it'll depend on whether the Lions can score with them. But I feel like I've come full circle on the Lions. Like, when they, you know, first hired Dan Campbell, I was very like skeptical. And I'm like, this guy and his Starbucks and his speeches and his tears, like, I didn't buy it. I'm like, yeah, it's a good story, but like, they're not really going to win anything with this guy, you know? And then they do. And then he proves me wrong and they win. And as much as I tried to like hate this team, like I can't now. Like, this is a great story. Like what Dan Campbell's done with the Lions, I think has been an incredible story. Do you have a team that has been like that with you where like you tried to hate them and then you just gave up and then you're just like, you know what? I like them. Cause that's how I feel like with the Lions, and maybe it's cause they're playing the 49ers. Makes me like them a little bit more. I think
that might be a little bit of it. But I was trying to think about this ahead of time. I really don't. I mean, I don't like the Packers and I never will. I grew up in Minnesota. I was never a Vikings fan to begin with, but I don't necessarily root against them. Like if they have success, fine. Oh, well, sorry, Mark. I don't like the Eagles. I'm not an Eagles fan. I don't the Eagles because, again, sorry.
Double Eagles doink.
Oh, was that the double doink game?
That was the double doink. I remember. Yeah, I remember. I was watching my buddy. He had like $1,500 in the game, dude. We were going crazy. Like, it was like insane. I still remember that. I was on his couch and he was like, show me the bet slip. And I was like, oh, bro, dude, like, what are you doing there? You know what I mean? And
what are you doing there?
Yeah, because I was not like super. I was confident, but I wasn't confident like that. You know what I mean? And yeah, it went right through. The double doink hit, man. And we enjoyed our beer after that one.
You guys partied a little. Yeah. Okay. That makes me not like the Eagles even more. I just had some friends that were Eagles fans and they were just awful to be around. Yeah. So just the aggressiveness of Eagles fans at times, and they are very passionate, so I'll give them that. But that makes me
aggressive.
Not like the Eagles. So Eagles might be my team, but I mean, last year in the Super Bowl, Jalen Hurts, his story's been great. I mean, now Kelsey. I watched the Kelsey documentary. This was prior to Taylor Swift, but I became a Kelsey family fan prior to Taylor Swift. So, you know, Jason Kelsey, and then you see him with the shirt off last week in Buffalo. How can you not love a guy like that? Who's jumping out so windows, cool, shirtless, chugging beer. Like that's my kind of man right there. So
he's living.
Yeah. Eagles are somewhat lovable, but on the field, not so much.
Well, maybe I'll turn you around and then they can be your Lions. You know, we got time till next year.
We do have some time. We'll kind of see how the off season goes. All right, Mark, moving on to the Exacta market. This is kind of an interesting way to bet on the outcome of the Super Bowl before we even know who's playing in the Super Bowl. You obviously get a much bigger payout and kind of a way around getting profiting kind of almost, and I say almost because nothing's for sure, but almost regardless of what happens if you like a specific team. I'm not introducing this all that great, but you're here to explain it to the people.
No, that's okay. It's almost like a two-week parlay or a two-game parlay, right? So you're kind of parlaying both outcomes and then picking the winner in the Super Bowl. For instance, you can bet San Francisco over Baltimore plus 285, or you can bet, you know, KC over San Francisco plus 550. But I think what was really interesting to me is, you know, if you like the Lions to win but don't have confidence that they can win the Super Bowl the following week against Kansas City, Baltimore, which I do think the AFC is going to end up being the winner of the Super Bowl. That makes sense, right? You know, maybe they sneak up on the 49ers, you know, with Debo out, they're able to pull off a win, but then they come up short in the Super Bowl. So if you think that's the scenario that's going to happen, instead of playing Detroit on the money line at like plus, you know, 260 this week, you could just bet a half unit on both outcomes in the Exacta market. So you would bet a half unit on Baltimore over Detroit in the Super Bowl at plus 800, right? So if you bet a half unit, your payout will be, 400. And you bet Kansas City over Detroit with the other half unit at plus 1,500. So Baltimore over Detroit is the one that garnishes the smaller payout. Even if that's the one that hits, right, you're still getting, you know, you're at plus 800 and a half a unit. If you bet, $50, you're still winning $400. Now, you have to back out the money that you put in, you know, the other half unit, the $50 that you put in on Kansas City, Detroit, but you're still clearing $350, even with the lower payout, which is much more than you would make betting a $100 wager on the plus 260 money line with Detroit. Do you follow me with that one?
Okay, I am following you now. So if you like Detroit to win this weekend against San Francisco, but you don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl, bet into both of the Exacta markets one, you'll get a bigger payout than the other, but either way, you'll be profiting from one of them.
Absolutely.
If Detroit loses in the Super Bowl, which both of us think it's going to be tough for them to get past San Francisco. It's going to be even tougher if they do to get past Baltimore or Kansas City.
Exactly. So the value is that you're kind of like baking in the fact that they're going to lose the second round, you know, right, in the Super Bowl after they get the win. But, you know, bet a half unit on Baltimore over Detroit at plus 800 and then another half unit on KC over Detroit at plus 1500. And then, you know, obviously you'll get a better payout if it is Kansas City that wins this weekend and plays them in the Super Bowl. But even if it is Baltimore at the plus 800, you're betting a half a unit, so you're getting back half of it, so 400, and then you back out the 50, you're at 350, which is higher than the money line at plus 260. So if you like Detroit to pull off the upset, don't bet the money line. That's the way to attack it.
All right, I like it. Making some money off the Lions, potentially winning and then losing. Nothing better than that.
We'll see.
Okay, Mark, moving to the NBA. Milwaukee, more coaching hires. Hired Doc Rivers. I don't know.
Very familiar with the team.
As a Sixers fan, like, what are your thoughts on Doc Rivers? Can he get it done with Milwaukee?
I don't know. I don't know. And it's hard because, like, the Rivers thing is so kind of crazy because it's like, if you look at his career, like, you know, he wins with Boston and, you know, goes to the Clippers, right? They get, you know, that's a disaster. You know, they blow all these leads, all these series. You know, they're in the bubble. They didn't want to play. Then he comes to Philadelphia and it doesn't get done there. You know what I mean? And he can't get the job done there. But no one's been able to get the job done there. Like, Philadelphia has never gotten out of the second round, you know, since Embiid's been there. It's been like 8-9 years. So I don't know. You know, now he gets Giannis. So now it's like, can he really do it? You know, I don't know, man. I think it's kind of crazy. Like, do you think that he can? And if so, like, does that, you know, move the needle for Giannis as far as MVP?
I don't think he can. Like, he's proven over and over again that he can't. So if anything, like, it almost makes me think that the Bucks, it almost makes me not want Giannis for MVP. But again, that is a regular season award, so that could be totally different. You also just had Embiid drop 70. I think Embiid would be, like, far and away the front runner for MVP if he hadn't already missed a significant amount of time, because I'm not sure, especially down the stretch of the season, he's going to get to the 65 game mark that you have to have in order to win postseason awards.
That's the thing. Like, the whole thing with the 70 from Embiid, and I don't know, like, maybe I'm a little bit negative towards the Sixers, but it's the Spurs, man.
Right.
Like, it's the Spurs.
He's got 100 pounds on Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah. Like, come on, man. Like, it's the Spurs. Like,
yeah.
It's not a game of significance. It's not even against, like, a center that's physically able to, you know, did he do that against the Nuggets? You know, no.
That would be a mind-blowing performance if he does it against Jokic or at Bam Adebayo or someone like that.
But it's like the worst team in the league,
who's on a minutes restriction and is 100 pounds lighter. I'm not sure.
Yeah. And they're the worst team. I mean, maybe they're not the exact worst team in the league, but they're, you know, in that bottom tier.
Yeah. No, I'm with you there. All right. If you had one last dollar in your bank account, would you bet on OG Anunoby at 16-1 to win Defensive Player of the Year or Ty Lue at 16-1 for Coach of the Year?
I think this is a tough one, man, because like he's been great since the trade. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, and he's had an impact. So, like, I think 16-1 odds are pretty good. And I don't think the Clippers are going away, man. And I think that, like, Tyronn Lue is the type of guy that can, you know, really get them over the hump. You know, in the West, it could be a little bit up for grabs, right? Is Denver going to do it again? You know, Minnesota's at the top. They're not a team with experienced winning, right? Like, if the Clippers can stay healthy, which is always, like, the million-dollar, you know, caveat, I think they can win it. They can come out of the West and win it. And I think out of these two people, like, I think – I think I like Lue a little bit better at 16-1.
I've been going back and forth. I could make a very good case for either one of them. I'll just make the case for Anunoby because you just made the case for Lue. I mean, since Anunoby's been traded, how good have the Knicks been? They've won 10 of 12 games. I would say they are close to being, what, top three in the East right now with how they're playing. And that defense has completely turned around. He's able to guard pretty much 2 through 5, 1 through 4. Like, can defend anyone. And that team's been rolling. Like, the Knicks have gotten significantly better because of the Anunoby trade. And if you're having that type of impact on a team, I think that matters a ton, especially when you look at the other candidates for Defensive Player of the Year. And maybe, I mean, is there ever going to be a little fatigue with Rudy Gobert winning it every other season or a couple in a row? Like, he's the favorite right now. I wouldn't bet on Gobert. I mean, obviously not at this price, but he's just always there. Anthony Davis is always right up there. Chet Holmgren's interesting. He's at 9-1, but Anunoby, I'm even seeing him at 20-1 right now. I think that's a great price.
And
especially
why,
if the Knicks just continue this surgence, I think that number drops.
And I think an important aspect to it is, like, you look like who's in front of him, and it's a lot of big men. And obviously, you know, Defense Player of the Year, it's going to be big men. But I mean, would you be surprised if Davis, Holmgren, Gobert missed significant time?
No.
You know what I mean?
And like, that opens the door. You're like holding your breath every time he's on the floor.
Yeah. The fact that he's not a big man, I think, gives him a benefit in the fact that, like, there's probably a greater likelihood that he's going to be there at the end of the year while these other guys, like, wear down and are banged up. And, you know, especially, like, you know, Davis, the Lakers aren't in contention, then, you know, they could shut him down. Like, you know, so I don't, and Holmgren, first full year, right? You know, like, is he going to hold up, right? So then that leaves you Gobert and fatigue.
Yeah. And is Holmgren going to win Rookie of the Year and Defensive Player of the Year? Because he's the favorite for Rookie of the Year, too. Like, are they going to want to do that in his first season? I don't know. That kind of is a red flag to me. So I think we might have uncovered a little something here with OG Anunoby at 20-1. Two more real quick, Mark. Rick Carlisle, Coach of the Year at 8-1, or Giannis MVP at 11-1. I will just go right off the bat. We talked about this on our show last week with Sean Green. Rick Carlisle, Coach of the Year. I think that is a fantastic bet, especially now that Siakam is over with the Pacers. I know they've struggled in their first two games with him on the floor. They're the first two games. It's going to take a little while for him to gel, find his role within that offense. But I think the Pacers are going to continue to be really good once they get Halliburton back. So I would take that over Giannis. A Giannis-led Bucks team that can't play defense.
Yep, I think I agree with you. I think that, you know, the Bucks are going to be better off, obviously, with Rivers. But I don't know if it's going to be enough to get Giannis the MVP. There's so many good candidates when you look at, you know, Jokic, Embiid, SGA. But I wanted to pair Carlisle up with somebody that gives you a little better payout with the 11-1 with Giannis to see if I could sway you, but no dice there. I don't blame you.
No, I still would take the lower payout with Carlisle over Giannis for sure. Last one, Embiid MVP at +140 or Lamar Jackson Super Bowl MVP at +220.
Tough one.
Yeah.
I think Lamar's Super Bowl MVP at +220, because I just think that he's so close now. And listen, they got a tough game with the Chiefs. They got to get by that. But I do think if they get by that, they're like, I think the AFC Championship is essentially the Super Bowl. I don't think 49ers or Lions are going to win. So I think he's one game away, you know, of really, you know, an incredible story. Like, when you think of the offseason and, like, you know, how they were, you know, talking about trading him because he didn't play hurt last year during the playoffs, and, you know, are they going to re-sign him? Then they pay him, then he comes back, he's MVP. If they win the Super Bowl, I think he's definitely going to be Super Bowl MVP. So I'll take the bigger payout with Lamar at the +220.
I will too. Everything you just said, I echo it. And again, with the Embiid, already missed quite a few games. I don't want my money tied to him staying healthy at the end of the season. He hasn't shown that he can. He's going to miss significant time, or at least miss enough time where he doesn't hit that 65 game mark. So
he's already knee swelling, and
you at know, plus 140, like, I'm going to need a bigger payout to take Embiid for MVP with where he's at game wise this season already. So I agree with you. Lamar Jackson, likely the regular season MVP. He wins this game, pretty close to being Super Bowl MVP. So I am with you there. All right, Mark, that will do it for us. Good show today. That's a wrap. Uncovered some good gems in the futures or in the awards market. Went through all the coaching hires in the NFL and a little NBA. We'll be back next week for more around various leagues, maybe dip into a little hockey, or just kind of continue with where we're at here. Super Bowl preview, all that good jazz. There's so much stuff we can be
doing. By the time we're here next week, we're going to know who's going to be playing for the Super Bowl. How crazy is that?
Your face just lit up, like so excited.
Yeah.
It is crazy. It's been a long season. I mean, as much as I love football, handicapping it week in and week out is a little exhausting. So I'm ready for the season to be over. After
you'll know, Kate, as like somebody in the business, like this week and the next 2 weeks are the hardest 3 week stretch, because like you end up like talking about these games to death, because it'll be like, hey, we only have two games this week. So every appearance you go on, every one, and you're repeating yourself. You're saying the same spiel each time. You're trying to figure out ways to talk about it differently. But it's two games, and then you have 2 weeks to talk about the Super Bowl, which is only one game. And by the time you get there, you're just like, out of breath. You know,
I've done three or four appearances already this week, and given out the same picks on everyone. Yep. Basically, it's just like
the game,
like. Verbatim of the whole spiel on why I like these teams. So yeah, but a lot of fun. We'll have some more fun next week. Give us a follow on Twitter. Mark is at @X_Drumheller. I'm at Kate Constable. Find us on the Believe Network, wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. We'll see you then.